With our gospel lesson this morning, we continue our series here in June as I preach the biblical text recommended to the session for the chancel texts behind me and approved unanimously by the members of the session. The banner across the top from the prophet Micah: do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. In this panel, you shall love Yahweh with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might, from Deuteronomy, in the Hebrew Bible. To this side, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them, the Epistle of 1 John. And today, the text that will be in the center, from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew 25, beginning at the 31st verse, I am reading from the Revised Standard Version. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and before him will be gathered all the nations. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see thee hungry, feed thee, or thirsty, and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger, and welcome thee, or naked, and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my siblings, you did it to me.' And then he will say to those at his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer, 'Lord, when did we see thee hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to thee?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me.' And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." This is the word of the Lord. Sheep and goats. Sheep over here, goats over there. The sheep on one side, the goats on the other. Sheep and goats. Goats and sheep. The goats hear of judgment, curse, and the fire prepared by the devil and his angels. They hear, "You did it not to me." The sheep hear of the invitation, inheritance, the kingdom, and eternal life. "You did it to me." Sheep and goats, here and there. Both the sheep and the goats are there in that gathering of many nations before the Son of Man. Both are there before the Son of Man, who comes in all of his glory, complete with an entourage of angels. The Son of Man was there before the nations on the throne of his glory. This Son of Man, who, according to the teaching of Jesus, the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. The Son of Man had the authority on earth to forgive sins. The Son of Man came eating and drinking with sinners. The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath, who was betrayed into human hands, handed over, and condemned to death. The Son of Man who came not to be served, but to serve. The Son of Man who is seated at the right hand of power and is coming in the clouds of heaven. The goats and sheep are gathered before the Son of Man and his glory. The Son of Man comes dripping in glory. And there among the gathering of many nations, the sheep and goats find themselves before the throne. You did it to me. You did it not to me. Somewhere in that gathering, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, I imagine James, the writer of the epistle, must poke an elbow into the Apostle Paul's ribs. Paul, who wrote, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith." Paul, "And for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." Paul, "And we know that the person is justified not by works of the law, but through faith in of Jesus Christ." James listens to the Son of Man on the goats and the sheep, smiles and gives Paul a little dig. James, "And be doers of the word, not merely hearers." James, "And I by my works will show you my faith, and faith by itself, if it has not works, is dead." You did it. You did it not. Some have made the argument that when Jesus speaks of the least of these, my family, my siblings, in Greek, my brethren, he was referring to those who would follow him, first to the 12, and then to those who would take his name, apostles, disciples, preachers, martyrs, saints, those who, in the name of Christ and for his sake, find themselves hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, in prison. It is the least of these defined as some sort of apostolic succession, care and concern within the Christian community. But a wider read, a broader understanding, a more universal affirmation of the least of these is more consistent with Jesus' own ministry and the rest of his teaching. By his own example, Jesus was not so parochial. There is a boundlessness to his servanthood. He makes the family reference in response to the sheep here, but not to the goats. And remember how he really turns the language of greatest and least on its head anyway. So actually, in the teaching of Jesus, the hungry and all the thirsty, all the hungry and all the thirsty and all the strangers, the naked, the sick, the prisoners in the gospel of Jesus are actually the greatest, not the least. I did some research this week to try to find out if farmers have to keep sheep and goats separated from each other. Several years ago, Nate Stuckey told me that farmers and pastors are a lot alike, that we have to learn a lot about, both have to learn a lot about life and death. Turns out they have one more thing in common. Turns out farmers are a lot like Bible scholars, preachers, and people who go to church because there were lots of different opinions. One wrote that a sheep and a goat can be together and actually become very good friends. Another suggested it has more to do with having a few animals or running a working farm. The most convincing opinion I read was that the animals are just too different when it comes to physiology, psychology, and behavior. On a working farm, you keep the animals separate for their own health so that disease doesn't spread. But this person, this farmer, argued that they have absolutely nothing in common, except they're both animals. So the Son of Man, in all of his glory, seems to be reprising his role as a shepherd. And maybe the first thing a shepherd would do would be to separate the sheep and the goats. Goats over here, sheep over there. And the reader, the listener, the theologian, the interpreter, the preacher, and the farmer can't help but then ponder the differences. But in the Son of Man's telling, before they are separate, they were together. In all of their sheep and goatness, what they have in common should not be missed. Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or a naked or sick in prison? Both the sheep and the goats had to ask. Both had missed when he was hungry or thirsty. Both missed that he was a stranger, that he was naked. Both goats and sheep didn't know that he was sick or in prison. Sheep and goats, they could all see that it was the Son of Man standing before them on the throne wearing nothing but glory. They knew then, but looking back not just at an instant here or an opportunity there, looking back over a stretch of time, looking back at all of life here on earth, standing there in the kingdom with the canvas of history stretched all around them, they had no idea. Both the sheep and the goats didn't know. They couldn't see the hidden Jesus. When it came to the least of these, when it came to the Son of Man present in the lives of the least of these, when it came to seeing the Lord's face in the hungry and the thirsty, when it came to recognizing him in the stranger, in the one with no clothes, when it came to looking into the eyes of Jesus and the one who was sick, the one in prison, when it came to the least of these who are members of my family, they missed it. Both the sheep and the goats. The sheep and goats were united. They were one when it came to their inability to see Jesus in the face, in the life, in the person, in the face of the other. Jesus' parable of the sheep and goats is so familiar, ingrained, memorable. But it's far too easy to not remember, or to forget, or to maybe not know, that this teaching in Matthew, Jesus' teaching, comes right on the threshold of his suffering and death. Here in Matthew, Jesus tells this parable just before the narrative takes the turn toward his betrayal, his trial, his beating, his humiliation, and his crucifixion. Another way to think about it is that while James and Paul may have the luxury in the kingdom of heaven of some theological banter around the table, and as the tradition goes toe-to-toe about faith and works and debating works and faith, Matthew's Jesus tells the parable and heads to the cross. Matthew's Jesus, the last word from the teacher, the rabbi, his last bit of teaching to the disciples, it isn't a beatitude or a lesson about prayer or a quote from the prophets. He leaves them with the one about the goats and the sheep. Jesus points not to the law, not to the devil, not to the Pharisees, not to a miracle, not even to the 12, but to the least of these. As if to say, when I'm gone, see me, find me, look for me, serve me, not on the mountain where I delivered that sermon, not at the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah, not in the temple, not in the synagogue, but among the hungry, the thirsty, the strangers, the naked, the sick, and the imprisoned. You remember that the risen Christ told the women at the tomb to tell the others to go to Galilee, and he will see them there. At the Great Commission, Jesus tells them, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I have commanded. And in the fullness of the story of Jesus and all the nations, before preaching, before teaching, before making disciples, before conversation, before the Great Commission, it is as you did it to one of the least of these. The first act of gospel proclamation is for the followers of Jesus to join all the nations in feeding the hungry. The first step in sharing Christian faith is to find yourself among the nations pouring for the thirsty. The first move of evangelism is for the followers of Jesus to lead all the nations in welcoming the stranger and clothing the naked and visiting the prisoner. As you did it to one of these, you did it to me. It ought to be such a part of who we are. It is a part of who we are. One preacher I listened to a long time ago offered the takeaway that all of us are part sheep and part goat. When it comes to living this parable, there is a bit of goat and sheep in all of us. Once in a while, Jesus says to you, you did it unto me. Other times, Jesus says to us, you did it not to me. At the very least, we have a lot in common with both those over here and those over there in the kingdom of heaven. Sheep, goats, and the hidden Jesus. But here's where we're different. Here's what is different for those of us who followed Jesus. Here's where we're different than the goats and the sheep. For us, for you, for me, Jesus has already told us where to look. Amen.